This podcast is brought to you by Versity. Versity is an organization that provides blood to hospitals in the Midwest, including Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio. While all of us are familiar with blood donation, we may not know how it really helps people or how safe it is right now. Most of us are focused on managing life in a new world, but there are still people going through medical events who require blood. People undergoing cancer treatments, those with chronic health conditions, or someone having a baby may require blood, and we can help. Donating blood is always safe. Centers are regulated and required to follow medical guidelines that safeguard the donor and staff. Since coronavirus hit, additional standards have been put in place. Also, donating blood is an essential service, so you can go even if you have restrictions in your state. And we need blood. High school and college closures alone deplete donations by 20%, and each of us who donates can save 3 lives with 1 pint of blood. So, in a time where we all need a little hope, reach out and help someone by donating. In Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Ohio, go to versity.org and schedule an appointment. Outside of those areas, go to your local blood bank. Again, that's Versity, VERSITI.org, and schedule your appointment today.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, stress relief coach, emotional wellness speaker, host of the Mighty Parenting podcast, and co-founder of MightyParenting.com. When you visit MightyParenting.com, be sure to sign up for the free email series on how to communicate with your teenager. Today, we are talking about anxiety. Anxiety has grown dramatically in the last decade. This generation of kids and the millennials are incredibly anxious and definitely more so than in the past. And now with COVID-19, anxiety is just going through the roof for both the kids and the adults. Even people who aren't normally anxious, I'm finding, are really living with it these days. I know even in our house, even when things are good or fun or whatever, it kind of seems like there's just this undercurrent of anxiety running through things. And you may be experiencing that yourself. You may be worried about your kids, worried about your parents, or just how you're going to deal with being together in your home day in and day out, because there are definitely trials associated with that. You may be trying to help your kids do schoolwork or homeschooling some kids, trying to work remotely yourself, or dealing with boredom for an entire family. Across the board, there's so many things happening, and we've lost many of the normal outlets for releasing our stress and anxiety and for feeling good. Social connection alone is a huge, huge part of mental wellness, and that has changed dramatically in just weeks. And now, within this time, it feels like life can go from feeling like it's spinning out of control to being quiet and peaceful, and then back to out of control again, all in a matter of hours or even moments. And all of this can leave us feeling anxious, whether it's in-your-face obvious or just that undercurrent. That anxiety has an impact. It has an impact on our kids. It has an impact on us, on the household, on our relationships, on every aspect of our life, including affecting our decisions. And today's teens and 20-somethings are already a more anxious generation, as I mentioned. And if you think about it, you know, their lives have been marked by many difficult things, including the proliferation of school shootings, the war in the Middle East, and for our 20-somethings, 9/11. They were very little, but it was there. And I know my kids still remember the TV screen and seeing, well, one, just that the TV was on during the day and seeing the towers falling. And now they have this pandemic. It's something new and crazy that none of us are really sure how to handle. So here's the question. I mean, like, okay, that's the problem, right? But what can we do about it? How can we help ourselves? How can we help our kids? How can we keep our families from living with all this anxiety and alleviating that undercurrent? Well, first, we can be careful. And by that, I mean two things. One is be careful with your attention. It can be tempting to follow the situation closely, leaving the news on constantly, frequently checking your online sources of information, talking about it throughout the day. But this impacts our kids. I mentioned that, you know, mine are in their early 20s and they still remember the 9/11 footage. Had I understood then what I understand now, I never would have left that TV on like that. It can be really traumatic for our kids. And the constant exposure creates that anxiety. Now, it's normal. It's a totally normal response to want to be checking in, to want to be knowing what's going on, especially when it's something that we don't understand. And it's totally unfathomable that this is even happening in our world. But that frequent exposure, that constant exposure creates the anxiety. You start thinking about it, you're focusing on it, and then your thoughts impact your body saying, hey, there's a threat and you need to protect yourself from this. So that causes your body's sympathetic nervous system to kick in. That's our fight, flight, and freeze system, the one that's designed to protect us, like if a tiger rushes into the room and we need to escape. And that system is amazing. I love that system, but it focuses on only one thing. It focuses on survival in this moment. So it shoots out a cocktail of stress hormones and pulls resources away from non-essential systems, or what it sees as non-essential systems, things like digestion and immunity. Because really, if you're fleeing from a tiger, who cares about digesting dinner and absorbing the nutrients, right? They really are unnecessary for that scenario. And so that's great if you have to escape a tiger. But COVID-19 isn't a tiger. It's not something your body has to outrun. It's a long game of staying healthy. And that means we need all those systems that are not essential when fleeing a tiger. We need to digest our food. We need to sleep. We need to keep our immune system strong. And that doesn't happen when we're constantly anxious and our body thinks it's trying to outrun a tiger. Not to mention that when we're in that mode, when we are really anxious, when our body is leaning into that fight, flight, and freeze, that's not a time where we are finding it easy to be pleasant and kind and loving. And so we'll be short with each other and we won't communicate with our teens in the ways that we've learned about here at Mighty Parenting, the ways that are more effective and more impactful and build our relationship. We'll end up stressing out our relationship as well and possibly tearing that down some. And that's not what we want to do. So decide when and how you're going to take in the information you need. Maybe choose a time of day to check in and get the latest updates and stay informed, like once a day. And think about what method you're going to use to receive that information. Like, what works best for you? Do you do best with a TV news show so that you know, like, hey, this is the half an hour or this is the hour. This is when I'm going to watch this and I'm going to take in this info. And then when it's done and we set it aside. Maybe rather than TV news, you prefer to read a newspaper because it doesn't have that person putting in their emotion and all of their anxiety into the information. Maybe you like to go online where you can, you know, kind of pick and choose what you're going to read. Whatever your preferred method, just pick a specific time a day or maybe twice a day where you go in, you get what you need, and you get out. And then if you need to have discussions with your family, because I'm not saying ignore this with your kids, especially our older teens or 20-somethings, they know what's going on and they have concerns too. So yes, talk about it. But again, try to contain it as much as you can to not let it take over your entire day. So have the discussion and then just let your mind stop mulling over COVID-19 and believing that there is a tiger in the room. The second thing I meant when I said to be careful, because I said, you know, be careful in two ways, is to be careful in our actions. When we need to stay home, we need to stay safe. In fact, I live in Michigan, and that's the order our governor gave to us was stay home, stay safe. So we need to stay home, stay away from other people, wash our hands, and do what we can to slow this thing down. And the interesting thing about doing that, about taking those precautions, is that mentally you can treat it as an empowering event. When we feel like we're in control, we feel safer, and our body doesn't need to go into fight, flight, or freeze so much. So if you take the precautions that are advised and approach them with that attitude of, yeah, you know, we're being safe, kind of we have some control here, that also can lessen the anxiety that you're feeling. So the first thing was to be careful. The second way we can help our families relieve anxiety is to use anxiety reducing techniques. And these are just simple things that we can do to relax our bodies, telling them that we're safe and they can leave that fight, flight, and freeze response and move back into rest and digest mode. And I mentioned a couple of things in episode 116 where I shared tips for dealing with social distancing and having your family all home at the same time. And I posted those tips on sandyfowler.com/coronavirus. And there'll be a link to that in these podcast notes as well. So you can easily reference the techniques there. But briefly, the first is box breathing. And that's where you inhale to the count of four, hold it to the count of four, exhale to the count of four, and then hold that emptiness for four. And just keep repeating. Do it at least three times. But, you know, a lot of people will choose to do it for 4 minutes to complete that four cycle. And that breathing also tells your body, you're safe, you have time to breathe, therefore you must be all right, so we can relax. And the next technique is 5-4-3-2-1, and that is where you focus on your physical sensations. So name 5 things you can see, 4 things you can feel, 3 things you can hear, 2 things you can smell, and 1 thing you can taste. And then the last is my simple guided meditations where you simply lie down and listen and you follow my voice as I lead you on a journey that tells your body that yes, it can rest, that it's okay for that parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system, to come back online to help your body relax and heal. So just go to sandyfowler.com/coronavirus or go to sandyfowler.com and hit coronavirus in the menu to get more information on those 3 techniques. And the third powerful way to battle anxiety is to focus on helping others. Making a positive difference in someone else's life has actually been shown to reduce our stress and anxiety. So during this time, reach out to someone in need. Make a virtual connection with someone who needs to hear a human voice or see a human face. You know, call them up on the phone. If they're tech savvy, do a Zoom meeting, a FaceTime, a Google Hangouts, whatever you want to do to get a video chat in. Or make sure that you can do something else for someone, like take groceries to someone who is in that at-risk category and really shouldn't be out at the grocery store. Run your neighbor's garbage bins to the curb and then back up to the house. Go dance and be silly outside the window of an elderly neighbor just to make them laugh, although you may want to call them first and give them a heads up that, you know, the kids are coming over, or, hey, look out your back window, just so that you don't scare them when they're sitting there chilling and you start showing up and dancing or something. And there is one other way that we can make an amazing impact, and that is to go donate blood. You heard in the opening of the show that Versity is sponsoring this episode, and I am very excited to be working with them. When I was donating a few weeks ago, I was talking to the staff and I learned a number of things, and I learned even more in chatting with Tara as we set up this show. So first, blood supplies were low when I donated, and that was before coronavirus hit and shut down our world. The second thing is that 1 pint of blood saves 3 lives. because they actually take that pint of blood and they separate it out. They separate the red blood cells, the plasma, and the platelets, and give people only the part of it that they actually need instead of just pumping a whole unit of blood back in. So that way, people get specifically what they need, and each time we donate, we can help three people with that one pint of blood. The other thing I learned was that blood has a shelf life, so they need a constant supply to help people. And in light of what's happening with our world right now, you know, people aren't necessarily focusing on this, or maybe we think there isn't a need for blood. But the need for blood never goes away. And with COVID-19, it's even more important that we go out and give, because our world turned upside down and things shut down. So Varsity receives about 20% of their donations from high school and college blood drives. Well, schools are shut down, so they've lost that source. And that doesn't even account for offices and churches and community organizations that hold blood drives. Second, people think that blood centers are closed. They're not. They're essential services, so they will not close down. So we can go there, and we don't have to worry about it. Even if your town is on lockdown, that's an essential service, you can go donate blood. Third, if people worry about getting sick from donating. Well, medical professionals, third-party organizations, and blood donation centers assure us that donating blood is safe. The centers always have to follow guidelines established for medical procedures, and they've implemented additional cautionary practices, right down to giving every donor a fresh pen to sign in with. I know my husband just went, well, it'll be about a couple of weeks before the podcast airs here, and he was detailing the extra procedures and the things they did and how they kept people away from each other. And he was very pleased with the way that the whole thing was handled. So no worries about that. And fourth is that belief that the need for blood donation has stopped. You know, we tend to think of blood being needed in a catastrophic situation, which it is, but it's needed every day. It's needed for people involved in car accidents or other types of accidents, people going through cancer treatments, which that doesn't stop, people who have premature babies, the babies themselves often need many blood transfusions, mothers who have complications during childbirth. I mean, these are not things that can be put on pause, as well as people with chronic illnesses. So we aren't necessarily thinking about blood donation because our attention's been hijacked by a virus, but these people still really need us. And the great thing about donating is that you can save lives and make yourself and your family feel better at the same time. You can generally donate blood if you're in general good health, you weigh at least 110 pounds, and you're 17 years or older, and most states will allow donations at 16 with parental consent. So this way you can help your teenager feel better. They can feel better by helping someone else. And you can also have a conversation about this, about how you want to respond when there is a problem in the world, who you want to be, who your family believes they are, the values that you hold. If what you believe is in coming together and supporting people and helping each other, this is a great way to do it, especially in a time where it's harder to step up and help people in the ways that we normally would. So have that discussion, talk about your values, discuss how donating blood can support those values. So if you live in Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, or Ohio, just go to varsity.org. and set up your appointment. It's versity.org. If you live outside those areas, then just do an internet search for your local blood bank and make an appointment there. So quick recap. Anxiety. We can reduce our anxiety by being careful about what we listen to and what we do. We can use evidence-based techniques like breathing, visualization, and meditation to reduce our anxiety. And another way to reduce our anxiety is to help others. And a great way to do that is donating blood. So if you have any questions, feel free to email me at connect@mightyparenting.com. I'll either share my thoughts with you or connect you with Varsity to get you answers to your questions. And thank you so much for your support of this show. Whether you're sharing the podcast with friends, writing in with your appreciation and questions, or financially supporting the show, I am very grateful. I do this for you and with you. Thanks so much for joining me today and for being part of the Mighty Parenting community. Remember that you are a mighty parent. You got this. And I will see you next week.